your prayers this morning. Certainly thankful, as has already been brought out a little bit in Sunday school and also prayer request time and thanksgivings that we're given, that we have such a wonderful Heavenly Father. If you think for a moment, well, we'll phrase it this way. Those that perhaps have missed out on having a father at a young age or even your whole life, doesn't matter the case, but if you've missed the place of a father in your life, you know that there's a great void there. But can you imagine if we didn't have our Heavenly Father? That's a void that no one can fill that void with the Heavenly Father, and He designed it that way. Yes, the world tries to find all kinds of other fillers, if you want to say, replacements for God, but none of them work. But I'm thankful we have a Heavenly Father that is a gentle shepherd and is able to help us through life. That's not the full burden I have this morning. What I want to speak about this morning is part of being a father. I guess you could say it would be the tough part of being a father. I want to speak with the Lord's help on God's reproof and correction. I'll write that on the board here. So we have this part of God to consider, and I'll be the first to say this perhaps is not a enjoyable message to preach, but I believe it is absolutely necessary. We'll put it this way. Where would any of us be if we were never reproved and corrected in our life? Think about that for a moment. And I'm not just talking about for mom and dad, for mother and father. What about in school? What about just in public in general? What if there was never anyone to reprove or correct you? Perhaps all of us have become acquainted at different times throughout our lifetime of children that never really got much reproof or correction. And what do we call those type of children? Spoiled. None of us want to be called spoiled. But it could be said this way. Someone left to themselves, especially a child, they get lost. We'll just put it that way. But our Heavenly Father has found a way, and this is His plan. That's why He's called a Father. He calls Himself Father. Jesus related to Him as Father, because even Jesus needed maybe not the type of reproof that we receive as often. But even Jesus, when He was praying in the garden, He's like, Father, if it be that, let this cup pass from Me. But yet the Lord still held, no, this is what I want you to do. It wasn't per se a reproof or correction, but the Father held His ground. You know, sometimes in life, we could pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, if there could be some other way, can You do this or do that? And there's sometimes the Lord will say, no. This is what needs to be done. You need to take some action. You need to, perhaps it's even retract what you've said. Or maybe go ask someone for forgiveness. Or whatever the case may be, we all need reproof and correction. So, again, just by the sound of this title this morning, it's no doubt not many of us are excited or on the edge of our seats, anxious to hear what the Lord has to say. But I ask that you would pray for him this morning. I want to read a scripture in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. This scripture is used quite a bit in this reference. We'll start verses 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now I want to make a statement here. First of all, the object or my burden this morning is not to give reproof or correction, but more of giving us an awareness of how God desires to work in our life. That God does not desire to crush us, to destroy us, to run us off, to offend us, or there's the other side. God doesn't want to spoil us either. You see, God knows what is best for us. We really don't know. I'm not going to ask for this literally, but if any of us, if we could raise our hand and say, we know what is best for ourselves, we can't really do that. We don't really know, because the fact of the matter is, we don't really know ourselves that well. Now, we live life long enough, and especially if we have a companion or children or a large family, we are told many times how we are. We're like, well, you're this way, or you're that way, or you don't do this, or maybe you could do that, or maybe you do this very well. You know, sometimes you get the compliments and you learn, oh, okay. So we learn who we are by experience. But that's not enough to get us to heaven, you see. God knows how to get us to heaven. And that's what this scripture is talking about. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. You know, there's times where, have you ever been in a place where you think, you know, not to think that you're perfect. That's not the point. But maybe there's times you think, wow, you know, the Lord has helped me here and there and there. And you, maybe you get to a point where like, well, I think I'm pretty well measured up at this point. And that's good. But that's not good enough. Then the Lord will come along and he may tap you on the shoulder and say, I got something else for you. I'm still working on you, child. There's still some things that need some tidying up. There's some little details over here that need a little bit of shining and polish in this area of your life. You know, you're not done yet. You're not in glory. You're not in heaven yet. We still have some work to do, child. You know, that's what a father is for. Someone that is overseeing the family, the situation, sees the needs. And sometimes the father doesn't react just like that when we think they should. Sometimes God waits a little while. You think of Job. Can you imagine being in the situation Job was in, having everything taken from him but his physical life? Which that was, he was afflicted, but he was still alive, barely. But yet, he would not accuse God. Maybe he questioned God a little bit, but then when he kind of got in that little, and then God said, where were you when I made the earth? Where were you when I, you know, did all these other things? Well, God has a way to oversee, instruct us, teach us. But here's the challenge. You know, there's times that we, like I mentioned earlier, we think we're maturing, and no doubt most of us are, and growing in the Lord. That's what God desires. But there's times where the correction and the reproof comes along, and perhaps it's something big, or perhaps it's something that's just startling. You're like, I never knew that, Lord, you know. But there's times where God has to do something to get our attention, you know. Perhaps think back on your childhood. And maybe it seems like you're getting away with something for a while, and then maybe they kind of, you know, okay, you're good for a little bit, but then all of a sudden, whack, you get something that really startles you, kind of takes you back, like kind of a shock and awe, to really get your attention. You know, sometimes God has to do that to us too, as His children. He doesn't do that to. He doesn't do it for the fun of it or just for spite. He's doing it for a reason, because perhaps we've been ignoring God's gentle nudges and His little still small voice, and we just kind of been shrugging it off, you know. And then finally the Lord says, child, you better watch out. You keep praying. You want to make it to heaven. You're asking for my help. I've been trying to send you help by these little nudges and these little pricks here and there, and you just keep shrugging it off. So finally the Lord may pull the carpet out from under you. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that happen literally? Have you ever literally had a carpet or a rug pulled out from under you? How does it feel? Kind of, what was that for? But the Lord, when He does those types of things, and again, it's not to, I could see the Lord, maybe He might do that, pull the carpet or the rug out from under you, but then He catches you. He doesn't want you to be destroyed or hurt, but He just gets your attention a little bit. Sometimes God has to do that. And that's where the reproof and the correction comes in. There's also, thinking of the Word of God in general, sometimes the Word of God cuts deep. And it really shows us where the glaring needs are. And it's not fun. If you've ever been, I remember different times in my career where my boss or some counterpart on the job had to correct me about something, and I thought I was doing it right. I was putting some effort into it, but realized I was doing it all wrong. And then someone comes along and says, hey, hello, that's not right. You're way off track here. I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, let me show you. And they start showing, and it's like, oh no. And then guess what? In the end, I'm thankful. I'm like, thank you for sparing more damage to me or you and the whole company. That's what God is trying to do. It's sometimes it is just damage control. He may do things to get our attention to make a stop, but it's beyond that. He wants to assist us, help us to where we don't continue in those things and lead us in a different path. Well, someone said it this way. So sometimes your bottle has on it, shake well before using. You ever seen that on a bottle? It says shake well. You know, that's what God has to do with His people sometimes. He has to shake them well before they can be used. Think about that for a moment. And there's different types of things that you use. I remember using some type of special type of paint. In a can, aerosol can, and I shook it a little bit. Oh yeah, it's fine. I tried using it, and it didn't work right. But you read the instructions, you gotta shake it for several minutes. A lot of time, a lot of effort. I was wearing out. I don't know, change hands and back and forth. But in the end, guess what? It worked. I'm like, well, they knew what they were doing when they put that on there, shake for so many minutes. But that's how it is in our life sometimes, that there's times God sees that we need shook quite a while. But then other times it's like, nope, just one little shake and they're good to go. Because maybe we've learned our lessons. Maybe we've been heeding the Lord's little gentle nudges and we've been sensitive to that. And we react and respond quickly. He's like, that's all they need. And then go on. And then there's some times where the Lord might have to drop the can, let it bounce a few times, then shake it some more to get our attention. Say, child, wake up. You got a serious problem here. Well, someone else said, I thank God for the unseen hand, sometimes urging me onward, sometimes holding me back, sometimes with the caress of approval, sometimes with a stroke of reproof, sometimes correcting, sometimes comforting. My times are in His hand. And that was by Vance Havner. But I think many times that's how it is. It's a mixed bag, so to speak, because we are human and this is life. It's not always going to be a bed of roses. It's not always going to be just a little cakewalk. Oh, this is sneezy easy. This is no problem. No, you know, this no big deal. And then all of a sudden, boom, wow. But I want to remind us of another scripture that relates to this quote I just read about my times are in His hand. In Psalms 31 and 15 is another scripture that reminds us of this. It says, my times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. You know, God knows exactly where we are at in life. God's not fooled by anything we say or do. You know, we can tell God, I already know that. Have you ever had a child come back and tell you, I know that, you know? And we're like, no, you don't. And it's like, oh, yes, I do. You know, there's an argument. Sometimes we want to argue with God. God, I already know that. I've been down that road. No, don't argue with God. Remember Job? In the end, Job said, Lord, you know the way that I take. Lord, you know. The Lord knows who we are. He knows exactly where we are at in life right now. He knows where you're at in your marriage. He knows where you're at on your job. He knows where you're at in any relationship. He knows where you're at spiritually. He knows where I'm at. I'm right in here, folks. God knows us so well. And sometimes we think we know ourselves, or we think we know someone else. And we may even question God about why he's doing this to so-and-so. Lord, why do you keep, hitting them on the head? Why are you shaking them so much? The Lord knows what he's doing. We're not the Father. We're not the King of Kings. But then back on this scripture, it says, deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. You know, as it's said so often, a lot of times our worst enemy is ourself. We'll put it very bluntly. Sometimes we, including myself, can be so stubborn and hard-headed. That's why the Lord has to keep thumping us on the head, so to speak. Shaking us up a little bit, dropping us every once in a while, pulling the rug out every once in a while. Trying to get our attention. Child, I don't want you to be destroyed. There's an enemy out there that's seeking to destroy your soul. And not just yours, your whole family. He's like, if I can get a hold of you, I can save you some heartache and everyone else in your life some heartache. If you'll just pay attention. Oh, Lord, help us. But yeah, being hard-headed and stubborn, you know, that comes pretty easy, doesn't it? The scripture says, every way of man is right in his own eyes. It's so easy to see everyone else's faults. They're wrong, they're confused, they're all messed up in the head. But I know what I'm doing, you know. But then everyone else is looking at you and going, no, you don't know what you're doing. You know, but that's humans. That's why I'm so thankful we have someone that really does know what they're doing. And then knows what we're doing. And understands why we're doing what we're doing or why we're not doing those things. God understands us. You could say it this way. I don't believe God has to study us per se, if you understand my point here. Because he knows all things. But I think sometimes God sits back and just kind of watches us. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. I remember different times growing up. And even observing and even some of my own experiences where there'll be a child struggling with something. And they struggle and struggle and struggle. And you may be watching out the window or peeping through the crack of the door or whatever. And they're just struggling. And they can't figure it out. Or they can't solve this. Or they can't untie that. Or whatever the case is. And you're sitting back watching. And you're like, you want to help them, but they never ask. I'm like, well, we'll just see how long this will go. You know, I believe sometimes God does that with us too. That we're struggling and he's like peeking through the crack, so to speak, just waiting. But maybe we never ask. He's like, well, I'm here. I can do everything for you, but you need to ask. And sometimes God may allow us to struggle for a while. And in a sense, that's the reproof and correction, because all of a sudden, Lord, can you help me? And you ask the Lord, it's like, yes, child, I could have helped you weeks ago, years ago. And then the Lord may, in his gentle way, saying, child, you didn't have to go this long. I could have helped you long ago. That in itself can be some reproof and correction. God's wanting us to learn from that. Learn from our mistakes, saying, Lord, help me not to go so long next time. Lord, help me to come to you first. But again, we are human. We can be stubborn, hard-headed. We've all been there. Right? No, I'm going to figure this out on my own. I don't need anyone else's help. Just leave me alone. Give me my space. I can do it. Maybe. For a while. But in the end, no. We can't do everything. We can't. God made us that way. We have our limitations. Well, another example, well, I'll say this. I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier. You could say a father that disciplines effectively is one that knows his child thoroughly. Now think about that for a moment. I've heard of stories where the father may be gone on a job or a trip or whatever. Or maybe he's just busy and is hardly ever involved with the children. And then all of a sudden he comes home someday, kind of busts through the door, and then starts beating the children. Oh, well, you said that, you looked at me wrong, and I heard, you know, your mama told me this, and just starts beating up on the children. That's not very effective. You need someone that's going to spend some time. There's an Old Testament scripture that says, I sat where they sat. Well, that's what one of the prophets did. He sat there, tried to soak it in. What's the environment? What are the circumstances? What are they feeling? What are they saying? What are they reacting? What's the trouble here? You know, that's an effective way of correcting and reproving, where the father's going to spend time with them, all right, before they take action and just start beating up on everybody. Well, you know, the same can be applied to our Heavenly Father. He wants to spend some time with us. He already knows us. But what it's really amounting to is he's wanting us to get to know him. Because he's perfect in every way. And he's right in every way. So then the challenge is, using an analogy of the father that comes home and tries to do his business, correcting and reproving the children. So then the question is with us and with God. How is God going to spend time with us? Does he just all of a sudden barge in your life and say, hey, child, I'm taking a week of your time here. Or I'm taking 2 hours out of this day. You just got to stop and I'm here. And you got to spend. Does God do that? Do you realize it's up to us if we want to spend time with God? Now, he's all around us, but it's so easy to ignore. You know what I'm saying? You just kind of go on through life, and especially those that aren't saved, they don't hardly ever see God. You know, he's there, but they don't take time to spend with him. So they don't get to know their father. And they don't get that relationship, that personal interaction, where the father wants to explain some things to them, but they don't ever take time to hear the explanation. You see what I'm saying? That, oh Lord, help us to do our part to spend some time with the Lord. It's a challenge for all of us. Life is busy. I don't know about you all, but it's hard to believe it's already March. This year, it won't be long and it'll be Monarch. We'll be sitting over there. We won't have to worry about snow and ice then. But Lord, help us to take time with the Heavenly Father. Another scripture in Psalms 139. Some more familiar scriptures. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Again, talking about a father that knows us so well. Have you ever sat back and actually worried about somebody understanding you correctly? You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you say something or you do something that you're totally innocent in it, You are trying to help or you're trying to encourage or whatever the case, but the other party just totally misunderstands you and they walk away and you walk away from the occasion. You're going, oh no, what did I, Lord help, you know, what do I do? You know, they feel offended. They feel whatever. Because we're human and that happens. But we have someone that we never have to worry about him understanding us and him knowing our motivations and our desires and all the things about it. God, it says here, he knows my down city, my uprising. He knows everything about our life. He knows when we go to bed. He knows when we wake up in the morning. He knows when we take a nap. He knows when we're paying attention to him or when we're not paying attention to him. He knows when we're paying attention to our parents or the teachers. You know what I'm saying? God, you can't fool him. You can't fool God. And it says, thou understandest my thought afar off. Wow. You know, you have these people out in life that think they can read your mind. You ever come across somebody like that? Oh, I know what you're thinking. You're like, really? Sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not. But that's trivial, really. But when it comes down to our relationship with God, God knows what we are thinking right now. He knows what you're going to be thinking next week. He knows what you're going to be faced with tomorrow. And he knows the trend, that the pattern, your thought pattern, you see. We all have thought patterns. Just something happens, and I'll give you an example. Just last night, we coming back from Kansas, and we stopped at the gas station, and I had this craving for grape juice. Welch's grape juice. So I went in there and bought me a little bottle of it, and I took a drink of it. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of back home when my mom and grandma would make grape juice out of fresh Concord grapes. Oh, and it tastes so good. Took me back. And every time I drink that, it reminds me of that. It's a thought pattern. Every time, you know what I'm talking about. You smell something and it takes you back to something. Or someone says a particular word that maybe someone else abused you with or made fun of you. You know what I'm saying? Then it's very sensitive. And someone says that word and you're like, oh. It doesn't affect anybody else, but it affects you. You see what I'm saying? That's a thought pattern. That's a reaction. God understands those things. Isn't that awesome? And yet, he may reprove and correct us, but he knows our limits. He's like, whoa. They need some protection here. They need some help here because that's a real sensitive area in their life. And everyone else are like, wow, that's no big deal. You know, they're callous to it. But we, every one of us, are unique and individual in ourselves. And God knows our background. God knows our history. God knows the offenses that we've had. God knows the misunderstandings, the hurts, the bruises. God knows all our past. But yet with all of that, God is saying, I want to help you with those things. Isn't that awesome? This plan of salvation is a perfect plan of salvation. It's the whole package. Well, I'll tell you another little story. Remember hearing of a young man? Well, he's grown now and has children of his own. He's very successful in his business. It took him a while. Grew his business, decent amount of money, business is successful, several people working for him. But told me a story and reminded me of, he was revealing to me, I guess I should say, the difficult childhood that he had, the abuse that he encountered and his family encountered. And oftentimes he was told, you're worthless. I can't imagine that. But there's people that have experienced that. And some more than others. Well, That haunted him for years. I want to tell you something. That's not the end of the story. He found forgiveness for his father. And now you look at him and you would never really know that was an issue in his life. Because God gave him healing, deliverance. And God has made him a successful man. And now, guess what? How do you think he's treating his own boys? Since he found forgiveness, he treats his boys properly. Just as our Heavenly Father treats us. Treats them with respect. Yes, he may reprove and correct, but it's with gentle hands and arms of love that I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to whatever, meet your needs. You see? I want to tell us, dear ones, it's people like that. We'll stand at the judgment day. Yes, God will be the ultimate judge. But he's going to look around and say, you know, if we try to use excuses, you know what I'm saying? Well, but Lord, I never really had a chance in life. We've all had a chance. Okay? And sometimes it may take weeks, months, and years before the Lord finally gets our attention. It gets down to the root of some of the issues. And yes, maybe we were treated unfairly by someone else. That's really not the point. God is saying, yes, that is true. Jesus was also mistreated and abused. And he was killed unjustly. But what did Jesus do when he was hanging on the cross? He found forgiveness. Do you realize that's how we're going to be judged in the last days? It's not going to be the Lord. We can't give our little alibi and all our excuses and all these things. And there may be times the Lord will say, well, I tried to get your attention. I gave you some gentle nudges and some, you know, this little small voice over here. And I even pulled the rug out from under you a few times and I caught you. And I kind of flipped you on the head or flipped your ear a little bit and tried to get your attention. But you kept shrugging me off. You know, stubborn, hard-headed. Nope, I'm just going to deal with this on my own. This is my own burden and cross. And that's just how you leave it. And the Lord's saying, I got something better for you. I got some deliverance. I got a healing balm to give you. He understands. He's acquainted with all of our ways. That's our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12 and 5. It says, and have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son? Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure a chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So I want us to get a picture here. I know I was just talking about the story of the young man that was treated unfairly in life. You know, I can't fix those things. That's what sin does to lives. That's why God is so desperate to save each and every one of us and our loved ones from sin. It's because it does damage. It can do severe damage. That's not God's plan. The wages of sin is death. That's what happens. But the gift of God is eternal life. Life everlasting. That's what he's saying. I have life to give every one of you. A happy, contented life. That means to deliver you out of all your troubles. He may not deliver you from the environments per se. You know what I'm saying? He may not just pluck you out of that environment and say, okay, you're out of there. But as I mentioned earlier, sometimes the Lord will allow us to struggle a little bit. And he's waiting for us to call. He's waiting for us to ask. And perhaps to humble down and say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of it. That's music to the Lord's ears. He's saying, Now I can help you, child. Just hand it over to me. That's what the Lord's desiring to do with all of us. And as this verse says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Have you ever been told, maybe you did something and you knew it was wrong? And you're like, oh, I hate, you know, man, yep, I was wrong, you know. And it's hard sometimes for someone else to come along and tell you, guess what? You're wrong. You're like, yes, I know. I already know it. It's obvious. And then they come along again and they remind you again. And then a while later, someone else reminds you of it. Like, I got the message. I know I'm wrong. You know, that's not real love. Someone that just loves doing that, you understand what I'm saying? They enjoy the reaction that they get from you. To come along every once in a while and just kind of rub it in. You're wrong. You messed up. You know, you don't like that, do you? If you've been on that end of it and you've received that, then I want to tell you something. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us, okay? And all, He may come along and tell us, child, you're wrong. And you know what He wants to hear? He doesn't want someone to say, I know it, and then just stop. You know what I'm saying? But He wants us to, in humility, say, Lord, yes, I am, and I am sorry. But we need to go a step further. Say, Lord, how can I do better next time? You know, have you ever worked with a child that is so pliable like that? And you're like, wow, okay, I'll tell you. I'll show you. I'll demonstrate, or I'll explain to you whatever the case is. And then a child will catch on like, oh, wow, yeah. And then that was awesome, you know. But it's the child that you come along and say, hey. And they're like, I know. You know, and they don't want to, and that's it. They don't, you know, they want to brought up again, and then, okay. But the Lord wants us to be teachable. The Lord wants us to be humble, to be like a child. Remember, that's what Jesus did? He's like, except you be as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. A child can be stubborn and hard-headed. But I'm going to tell you something. They come to a point where they realize they don't know everything, because they're met with some big obstacles that they can't mount. They can't pass. They can't cross over. They can't whatever. And they finally say, we need your help. That's how the Lord wants us to treat Him, to treat the Heavenly Father with the love and respect and adoration. Lord, I know you're not trying to destroy me or anyone else that I love. You're trying to get us to heaven. And Lord, help me to be patient. Not just with the Lord, sometimes with ourselves. Don't despise or neglect God's gentle chastening. Profit by it. Learn from it. You've heard the old saying, learn from your mistakes. Lord, help us all to do that. Everyone that is on the road to heaven receives God's chastisement. And why? Because He loves us. I want to remind us again, you've seen the children that never received reproof or correction or discipline, and they were spoiled rotten. And as they become an adult, guess what? It is obvious. I've worked with some. It's like, wow, you wondered. And then later you find out, you hear a little bit of family history, and like, yeah, they were basically, they could do anything they wanted to do all the time. Never told no, never given reproof or correction, and they just made a mess of their life. And then you have to wonder, well, did those parents really love that child? Well, yeah, they loved him, but was it true love? You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's called tough love. Well, you realize you have to put your foot down. You have to give some restrictions, some guidelines, some rules, laws, and regulations. You realize that's what this Bible is. It's not mine. But God gave His Word. Remember what I first read? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. There are certain times in life that there may be particular stories, examples in the Bible, scriptures that may cut deep because the Lord is saying, that's you. You ever been there before? Sometimes it's tough. It's a challenge. Lord, help us to accept it and take it. Because the Lord's not going to, I've used this illustration so many times. He's not going to, you know, when we make a mistake and He wants to reprove and correct us, then He doesn't just take us and say, okay, now, just to prove a point, He'll grab us and just kind of rub our face in the dirt and the mud just because He enjoys it. That's not how God treats us. That's how other humans will, if they don't understand us. They'll walk by and make fun of us. You're wrong. You didn't know. You were wrong, you know. Or the devil. He'll come by and accuse us. Do all kinds of things to get us all stirred up emotionally. That's not how the Lord does it. He comes by with that still, small voice, little nudges. And if we don't take heed and receive His correction and proof, we may go on a while and the Lord's saying, I got to get their attention. And He'll send something else. And it may be a little shock and awe thing to get our attention because He loves us. He wants us to make it to heaven. Yes. And it goes on just a little more here. In Hebrews, the same chapter. Says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That's what God is desiring to do for all of us. He doesn't want us to kind of, you know, have you ever maybe trying to give a little dog or some animal some training? And have you ever seen them where, you know, you've been trying to train them, get onto them for something bad they've done, and then you may give them a treat when they do something good and they're all excited and wagging their tail and they're just licking you all over, and then they do something naughty again. You got to get onto them. But then it's like, so have you ever seen, well, not just animals. I mean, children can do this too, where they'll just kind of sit over there and kind of sulk and pout. You know what I'm saying? Like, why did you do that? You know, that hurt and that's not fair. But yet you're doing it because you have a plan for them. You want them to grow up and mature and be successful adults in life, a successful child of God. But what the Scripture is referring to is someone that kind of sets over in the corner. They receive some reproof and correction, and then they want to go pout about it. Say, well, that's not fair and that's not right and that hurt. But what's it saying here? Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I'm applying it in this respect here this morning. And make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know, it's okay to tell the Lord that hurt. Then leave it. You know what I'm saying? Don't just keep reminding, oh Lord, that hurt, that's not fair. And just keep that little sulking, that little pouting attitude. But the Lord's saying, I want to heal that. Let me take that. Let me take that burden, that cross, that load that you're carrying. And it may have been for years you're carrying that because of all the things that have happened in your life. And the Lord's saying, cast all your care upon me. I care for you. I want to help you. I want to lift that burden. I want to heal that wound and that hurt. That's how God's reproof and correction is concluded. It brings healing to your heart, to your soul, and to your mind. That's God's design and His plan for all of us. That we may be transformed into something that we never knew possible. You know, sometimes the devil will present to you, you're never going to get over that. He'll tell you that. Oh, that's so hard. That's such a sensitive issue, a subject, or whatever that's brought up. You're never going to get over that. But the Lord is saying, but with me, all things are possible. That's what God is saying. He's like, I can do anything. I can raise Lazarus from the dead. Can He not heal those places in our lives too? That we have a void and need? Yes, God can. And God wants to use us as a testimony of His power and His grace and His healing, that the reproof and the correction doesn't keep us over in this little corner, and that's where we choose to stay. You know what I'm saying? But He's saying, choose life. That's what He's asking. Choose life, healing, deliverance through the reproof and correction. That's what God has for all of us. Lord, help us to receive what God has for each and every one of us. You pray for me that I'd be faithful.